This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your wages are being garnished. We can stop that now. It's hard enough to pay your bills when things are good, let alone when a big chunk of your take-home pay is gone before you even get your check. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagné, and I can stop the garnishment and get the creditors off your back immediately, often the same day as our consultation. Both Chapter 7 and 13 provide bankruptcy relief, but choosing the right chapter is crucial. In a free consultation, we can create a plan to get your finances back under your control. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at choosetherightchapter.com. That's choosetherightchapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. And yeah, today is Seattle Rock Day, which means, yeah, we are once again celebrating Seattle's rich rock legacy, which means you're going to be hearing all of your favorite rock bands from the Pacific Northwest, man. It is going to be an awesome day. And for the second year in a row, which I'm really happy about, Seattle Rock Day is going to be spotlighting and supporting the amazing work of SMASH. That's Seattle Musicians Access to Sustainable Healthcare. SMASH makes sure that the people that have given us the music we love and continue to give us the music we love get proper and affordable health care. If you can make a donation, that would be so awesome. Get all the info at KISW.com.
Let's play Beat Mix.
It's time to play the game.
Yeah.
So everybody scream his name. Beat Mix. Don't be a loser.
Whoa.
Beat Mix. You're a loser.
It is time to Beat Mix. And it's Thursday, so let's get cracking. Yeah, get cracking on Seattle Rock Day.
Hey, BJ, can I borrow $770?
Oh, wow. That's a very specific amount there, Steve. Well, I'm just, sure it's for a good cause.
Well, you're just talking about how we're trying to raise money for SMASH, and right now, today, our goal is $10,000. We're already at $3,000 raised to help out all the Seattle musicians out there, and part of it is we're doing an auction. All these cool Seattle items and memorabilia, and one of them is an autographed Pearl Jam poster, which currently is at $760.
Oh, so, I see, yeah.
In order for me to win it, I have to get $10 more. And
you got to be in it to win it, buddy.
This is going to... I'm excited to see what this ends up. You know, it's got 10 more hours left on the auction. I can only imagine it, that poster is going to raise some good coin.
Absolutely. This is the one thing where your wife really can't roll her eyes because you're doing it for a good cause.
Right? Well, especially if BJ's paying for it.
Yeah.
Come on, BJ. Well,
that's always the great cause there. Yeah. I hate to say this, but I'm afraid I'm a little tapped out because I've already donated some cash.
Oh, look at you.
Aww. Yeah. And you can go to KISW.com. It's really easy. You just click on the Seattle Rock Day banner, and then you're going to see the ability to donate now. And if you can, man, I mean, look, you know, artists, you hear about struggling artists, and we just don't realize that not all these musicians in the area really have proper health care. And so it's something you can do to give back to them for all the greatness that they've given you over the years.
Fine, I'll just donate and not borrow your money.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Sorry, if I'd have known, maybe we could have gone. But then, you know, there might be a rockaholic that really wants that poster.
That's
so
true.
We don't want to take that out of their hands.
Or, yeah. Steve, you might find yourself a nice sugar daddy who buys the poster, you know, wins the auction, and then just gives it to you.
Hey.
Out of the goodness of their heart.
I ain't too proud.
Ain't too proud to beg or be a sugar baby.
That's right. Let's get to our contestant. We got Jake in Puyallup. Jake, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Excellent.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
All right, Steve, get out of here. For those playing at home, Jake will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Jake, you can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
I believe so.
Soundgarden's hit song Spoon Man and Black Hole Sun were both on what album?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. The name of the album. I see the picture of it. What am I doing?
Oh, no.
Super Mega Okay? No?
No.
Super Unknown.
Yes. The Ventures' first album was titled Walk Don't What?
Pass.
Which band sang Crazy on You and Barracuda?
Heart.
Yes. In 2019, Brandi Carlile and which other musician were spotted busking at Pike Place Market?
Dave Grohl.
Yes. What year, the mid-90s, did Alice in Chains release their album Jar of Flies?
1990.
No.
91?
No.
Oh, my God. 94.
Yes. Out of 7 nominations, how many Grammys did Nirvana win?
2.
No.
6.
No.
5.
No. Sharing the name with a number, what was the title of Pearl Jam's first album?
10.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 correct.
Oh, my goodness.
You did pretty good there, man. There's some hard stuff there. So good on you, Jake.
There really is.
So that was a lying voice. You did pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, look, you did average.
Watching Nailed It last night, I realized that, and they even stated as such, you speak a little bit higher if you're lying. So, yeah, Jake, you did a great job.
Does that count as a win?
No. We'll find out.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
Steve's got to play.
Steve is kind of an expert, and this is one thing he should really know a lot about. So if he doesn't do well in today's Beat Migs, I don't know.
It's Seattle Rock Day.
Oh, I thought it was wrestling?
No, that's tomorrow with the wrestling showdown. Today, we're just dealing with Seattle Rock music. Buddy.
Oh, pressure's on.
It is. So if you don't do well in this, we have some questions.
I need to go home.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Ah, yes!
Soundgarden's hit songs, Spoon Man and Black Hole Sun, were both on what album?
Super Unknown.
Yes. The Ventures' first album was titled Walk Don't What?
Run?
Yes. Which band sang Crazy on You and Barracuda?
Heart.
Yes. In 2019, Brandi Carlile and which other musician were spotted busking at Pike Place Market?
Dave Grohl.
Yes.
Fresh Pots.
What year of the mid-90s did Alice in Chains release their album Jar of Flies?
1994.
Yes.
Nice.
Out of 7 nominations, how many Grammys did Nirvana win?
7?
No.
I have no idea. 3?
No.
5?
No. Sharing the name with a number, what was the title of Pearl Jam's first album?
Oh, man. 10.
Yes. What relation was the subject of Alice in Chains' Rooster to Jerry Cantrell?
Father.
Yes. What city is Jimi Hendrix laid to rest?
Renton.
Yes. Which metal band with a religious name called their home Aberdeen?
Metal Church.
Wow, yes. And Steve, almost at perfect 10.
Damn
9-5. You win Dolly Parton style. Sorry, Jake.
Sorry, Jakey.
Damn. That's all good. Thanks for letting me play, guys.
Thanks, man. Have a great
welcome, buddy.
Yeah, he's still got 5, which is pretty solid.
And Steve is, I mean, look, Steve, he had better have done at least 9. And you know what? Frankly, that he didn't 9. Get a perfect 10. He's out.
I was thinking, since I won, I should play a band that's from Seattle on my list of bands that I have for victory songs. And I remember to have this one featuring Duff McKagan.
Oh, this is an old one. We haven't even played this one in a while.
That works.
This is for the Hawks, right?
I mean, it got played a lot
back in
the
day.
Hawks.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think he wrote it specifically for that.
I kind of felt like maybe they did, you know?
Such a cool band.
Mm-hmm. The fun trivia fact about the one Grammy win that the Nirvana did get, it was for Unplugged in New York. So they were nominated for 6 before that, but did not get it until Unplugged in New York.
That's funny. Yeah, I just never paid attention. Like, kind of want to see, like, the bands you love get Grammys, even though it probably doesn't matter much to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they appreciate it, but yeah, I never even thought about like which ones they won and which ones they didn't.
Absolutely. Well, now you know that, and congrats on your win, buddy.
Thank you.
Good job, Steve.
Thank you.
And we'll see if he can get the perfect 10 later in the show when we do the next edition of Beat Migs.
We're getting lots of text messages about Seattle Rock Day, BJ.
Yeah.
Somebody brought up a fun story about getting to see Alice in Chains. He says, they were supposed to open up for Poison, but somebody was sick, I believe. A few of the band members did come up and played on stage towards the end. They were the only reason I wanted to go. It is crazy to think that Alice in Chains at one point opened up for Poison.
And that really was the beginning of the end for bands like Poison. They basically, their opener showed them that they were basically about to be usurped. That entire genre of music was just about to go and get trounced by Alice in Chains' genre of music.
I mean, they opened up for like Van Halen. Because, I mean, at one point, Alice in Chains, I mean, they made the switch, or as the kids say these days, the pivot. But they were more of like a hair metal type band when they first started. And then eventually came into their own and found their sound.
Yeah, I do believe. I think I've seen some old pictures of them.
Yes.
All in the spandex and stuff. Yeah.
The hairspray, all
that's
that
awesome.
Cool stuff.
It is fascinating. You know, there's a lot of influences every band has, and then they eventually take those influences and mix them with their own voice to make their own unique thing. And it is odd to think that they could go from hair band to what Alice sounds like, you know, today as well as in their heyday. It's just so nuts to think that evolution happened.
I mean, if you look up pictures of a band when they were called Diamond Lie, and it's just crazy to see, like, you know, Jerry in spandex, which is, you know, and kind of makeup and all that crazy stuff.
Yeah.
To them, what they became, where it's just like, you know, rocking whatever you wore that day, Doc Martens and all that fun.
It's a lot easier to do a gig if you can just throw stuff on from the house rather than have to get all made up like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Mickey's showing you a picture of it right now.
I know. That is so wild. They are 80s.
That is so much hair.
A lot of hair.
That is a ridiculous amount of hair. I mean, look, they look good. I'm not going to say they don't look good, but it's just, you know, it is insane, the transformation that happened.
Hope they bought stock in Aquanet.
Yeah, I wonder how much hairspray it takes to get your hair that high.
Oh, man. Yeah.
All of it. An entire can.
That's why the ozone layer was in big trouble back in those days.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
funny. I was thinking about a story that Karen Mason Blair shared with us. You know, Karen's a great photographer, and a bunch of the pictures are at KSW.com, but she shared a great story of when Alice in Chains opened up for Van Halen, and Eddie felt bad. They talk about what they wore and what they dressed as. He felt bad because they were wearing like ragged clothes and crappy old Doc Martens, and he bought them a bunch of Doc Martens, and the story is fantastic.
Yeah, so they were on tour, and you know, Eddie, you know, meets the band, and you know, is hanging out with them for, you know, a minute, and then, you know, then they start the tour, and then Eddie sends out his assistant to go buy all of Alice in Chains' brand new Doc Marten boots, right? Because he said their shoes are so worn out, and then he gifts them to the band, and they're like, "Oh no, man! Hey, don't worry about it. It's the look. Like, we don't even want your shoes." He's like, "What?" You know, and so. That's grunge, baby. See, and that's Hollywood and grunge colliding.
Oh, that's fantastic. Here he is. He's like, man, these poor guys, I want to help them out.
Do them a solid, our opening band.
Don't touch those shoes. You know how long it took them to look that worn? Don't even try to clean them.
Oh, my gosh. We would take our leather jackets and run, like put them in the dirt and walk on them and run our cars over them because we didn't want anything looking new. So we had to just toughen everything up.
It's, you know, Steve, it's fascinating because you remember, and of course your brother remembers, because it was the exact opposite when Kiss started doing what they did. And every, like, legitimate rock band said, what is going on with this crap with all the makeup and all the ridiculousness? And yet Kiss definitely, you know, if they started hair metal. I mean, yeah, they and that whole glam look. The pendulum swung the other way. And you look like you looked exactly the opposite of that when Alice was doing what they were doing.
Well, I remember being a kid and just like, yeah, it was like there was a time where you see like the classifieds for like bands, and they're like, okay, we need a drummer. You better look good in spandex, and you better have cool hair. And I'm like, at no point did it even say, are you a good drummer? Like, that was like, it was more important than what you look like. I'm glad we got away from that. I mean, I loved hair metal, don't get me wrong, but definitely what happened in Seattle and just the quote-unquote grunge scene was way more impactful to me because it was more relatable.
Yeah, and you know what this means, though, Steve, because, I mean, the 60s was kind of like that to some degree, like a lot of those, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young guys. It had a look that just, you know, was sort of, hey, man, you know, whatever. And I wonder if we're going to see glam come back, you know, where all of a sudden it's going to be that again, where you've got to have some kind of hair and some kind of glam, and you're going to have to look good again.
Oh, we got all morning. We're taking text messages at 77999 about your favorite memories, or call us at 206-421-ROCK. But someone said, "Hey guys, show some love for Mia Zapata. The Gits were my favorite Seattle band. Mia, unfortunately, is no longer with us, but that band was pretty badass. So we'll be playing them in just a few minutes."
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, Steve, how about this? As you said, all day long, celebrating the music of the Northwest, Seattle Rock Day. And one of the most beloved bands to come out of Seattle was Mother Love Bone. And we're going to be chatting with lead guitarist Bruce Fairweather at 717. Well, you asked for the gits. All right, it's Seattle Rock Day. You got the gits right here on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
And BJ, all day today we're celebrating the history and the music of the Pacific Northwest with Seattle Rock Day, and I am beyond excited to have our next guest on. Please welcome to the show, Bruce Fairweather.
Bruce, good to have you with us.
How's it going? Hey, man. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Bruce, obviously, you are a huge part of why Seattle Rock Day even exists. I also love the fact that you are part of SMASH, which is Seattle Musicians Access to Sustainable Healthcare, because, man, a lot of us don't realize that while we're enjoying great music, seeing a lot of these great local folks just doing what they're doing at the clubs we're at, especially when we can go back to it, but even all the years before, we don't realize that a lot of these folks are... They don't have great medical coverage, and it just doesn't occur to a lot of folks. So I'm glad that you're involved with this.
Well, thanks. It's more my wife was involved with it. We have a bunch of friends that started it up, but I've played benefits for it for several years. And the people that are all behind it are awesome people. And, it's so hard to live in the city anyway for musicians just because it's getting so expensive, and every little bit helps.
Well, I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to be a total nerd and a fanboy, if you don't mind, for a half a second. Because being a part of Mother Love Bone, and I'm a huge Mother Love Bone fan to the point where my wife and I, our first dance at our wedding was to Gentle Groove. And like that's how, like, we just have a mutual love for your band. Is that trippy for you to know that, like, that the music it just lives forever, and that there's so many people that just love and still think fondly of that band?
No, it's awesome. I think it's great. It was good times, and I think it still stands up. I don't listen to it all that often anymore, but every now and then I'll hear it on the radio, or we put out a box set a couple years ago, and I listened to all that, and I was like, wow, it still sounds pretty good. 30 years later.
Do you have a favorite memory from that time? Because I remember there was a story I read, and it was always referenced, of playing shows with a band called Dogs D'Amore, and there was a time where Andy did something to upset the band because he was just so outgoing and such a large presence on stage. I don't know if that was like a favorite story that you could share with us, but I always read about that. And I was like, man, it'd be cool to hear it from your guys' perspective.
Yeah, it was like the last show, I think one of the last shows we played with Manila, I think. And about halfway through the tour, they quit striking their gear. And we were playing small clubs, so the drum set would be like, Greg's drum set would have to be like right up front, taking up, Andy's dance space. And so he just went off on them in LA, and he was just totally swearing. And of course, that's the show my parents were at. Andy was ripping them. It was pretty awesome. But yeah, it was the only time we really toured. And,
It was a killer show. So
we're talking to Bruce Fairweather, obviously the guitarist of Mother Love Bone. Bruce, you know, I ask everybody about this because, like you said, it was 30 years ago. And did you guys have at all any idea just how special the music was that you were creating? That, you know, I mean, you know, everybody always likes their music, but did you think it was going to be as big as it was?
Oh yeah, we talked. We definitely knew it was going to just take off. You could tell. I mean, the bands like Soundgarden. Mm-hmm. Nirvana coming up and everything, you could tell that somebody was going to break through at some point. Just because there was that much, you could just feel it in the energy in the air back then. You know, it's just kind of sky. You know, it's just like it was just starting to skyrocket. So yeah, you knew it was going to happen to somebody.
Was there a moment where you were just like, oh, here it starts, like a certain thing that happened, whether it be to like Soundgarden or Nirvana or Alice in Chains, like where you were just like, oh boy?
Yeah, it was just like the shows we were playing were just getting more and more, like, you know, when we first started out, it was just like our friends, and then the very first Love Bone show was at the OK Hotel, and it was just like 400 people we didn't know. So I was like, whoa, who are these people? And they were young, you know, they were like younger people. And, you know, our friends were still there too. It was just like, who are all these people? And, you know, they definitely weren't Green River fans, you know, so right. It was just like, so you could just feel it. And, you know, definitely like Soundgarden, you could totally see just the same thing with the audiences going to their shows, and Alice in Chains, Nirvana, you know, it's just, you could feel it. And it was kind of, we actually talked about like, I hope this doesn't get too out of control, because isn't this 10 just going to suck?
Which
is gonna happen.
Yeah.
Talk about foreshadowing. You're absolutely right.
But it is funny, you know, you want success, but then you go, at least you had the wherewithal to go, but we don't want too much success.
Right, right, totally. And we were young, you know, so it was just like, you don't really know exactly what's going to happen, but
it feels like there's like such a camaraderie amongst the bands, even just being an outsider. Oh, totally. You know, growing up, like, it didn't seem like there was this competition amongst you guys. I mean, I'm sure a healthy competition, but like it just seemed like everyone was trying to bring each other up. Just being a part of that group, like, you know, just all those bands. You talk about Green River as well. Like, it just seemed like you guys were all like crossing paths and being in bands together at some point or another.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Like when, you know, Green River broke up and we started jamming with Andy, and we the first time we played, I think we were called like the Lords of the Wasteland, and like the very next night at the Vogue, Mark Arm put together a band called the Wasted Landlords. So it's just like stuff like that. It was just like, totally awesome. It's just like, you know, it was pretty great.
So. Just trolling each other.
Just stuff like that. Totally. And, you know, in a good way. Yeah, we all loved absolutely each other, so it's nothing, no hard feelings.
And there is that. I mean, there is that love that's there that, you know, in other cities. You just, you know, it just wasn't there. I don't know if you noticed, because you've lived in other places, Bruce, and, you know, you didn't grow up here. I mean, there is something about this area where, I don't know if it's in the water, but people just seem to care about each other.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, we lived, my wife and I lived in Chapel Hill for a little bit, and it was kind of similar there. The bands were all super supportive. They'd all be at each other's shows and stuff, and it was a small scene. And it kind of reminded me of Seattle, but, you know, it never totally took off the way Seattle did. But there's some, you know, there's definitely pockets around the U.S. where I think it was like that.
Chapel Hill was, yeah, a great, like, college rock scene. I remember going in college, like, playing, like, bands like Archers of Loaf. That was a very,
right,
had that vibe of what the Northwest was. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, totally. It's good. It's you know, I think it's better for the bands and better for just the whole music scene when bands are like that. And, you know, and then they've got, like, in Austin, you know, there's, like, a thing similar to Smash, so... It's like I said, it's, you know, it's totally important for the bands to be able to take care of their health since they're having a hard time paying rent, especially now since like 90% of them are bartenders and they're not working.
Yeah. So. Bruce, it's a great idea. You know, I feel embarrassed that it didn't even occur to me. You know, it just didn't even occur to me. You see folks playing, and, you know, I mean, anybody that has any idea about the music industry, you know that it's a grind, especially if you are trying to tour and nobody knows who you are and you're lucky enough to get a tour, but, you know, you're jammed into a van. It didn't even occur to me, and it's so awesome
stinky
that you guys
van
are getting together. Yes.
Yeah,
the old stinky van.
It was about like 5 years ago, my wife and I were at our cabin on Vashon, and we were coming home, and I was like, let's go get a drink. You know, when back when you could go up in the ferry and get a cabin or get a beer, whatever. Yeah. And we were walking up there, and we run into Ian Moore, who lives out on Vashon, and he's like, well, I got to talk to you guys about this idea I have for a nonprofit to support musicians. And we sat down and talked to him for the whole ride. Never got our drink, but that was fine. And by the time we landed, like, my wife and I were just like, God, we totally got to get into this. It's awesome. And so they've been working on it for a while. And it's definitely come a long ways.
It was like a couple years ago, a few you got together to have that awesome benefit show where the members of Mother Love Bone jumped up on stage with different singers. And I remember even seeing you guys, what was it, at the Showbox like 12 or so years ago. It was like a Brad and Friend show, and you guys came up and did a few songs together. What were those experiences like for you to go back and just and play some of those songs again with your old bandmates?
Oh, it was super fun. It was kind of like seat of the pants, because we'd be like, okay, let's get together a couple times beforehand and rehearse, and then like, you know, eventually it would be like, well, maybe we'll get together once, and then be like, let's just practice at soundcheck. we'd just practice at home, and we pulled it off, so it was super fun. And you know, hopefully we'll do it again at some point. But I don't know if we'll get to sing now that Sean's gone.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, well, Om did a great job as well. I mean,
totally. She's badass.
Yeah, that was I think she did with Bone China, and it was just like, ooh, Goosebump City.
Yeah,
that was a totally great version. And there are, I feel like there are a lot of talented singers in this area. I think
just a couple.
I think you could probably you'd probably trip and fall on some of. There's just so much talent here.
Yeah, totally. Still a lot of bands out here.
Do you keep tabs on some of the newer bands? And if so, is there any bands that like you're like, oh, that band's, I'm really digging what they're doing.
I'm a big fan of Wild Powers. Lupe, the drummer, is my neighbor, and I just recorded with them. They got a record coming out on April 23rd that I play on a song called Pageant. But they're killer. Other than that, I've been playing like a lot of mandolin and bluegrass and stuff. But and then before the whole pandemic, we were fortunate enough to see the Idols twice, and they were super killer. They were supposed to tour opening for Pearl Jam last year, but that didn't happen.
Oh, man, what a bummer. I mean, that would have been amazing exposure for those guys.
Yeah, it's IDLES. They're killer.
When Pearl Jam broke out, what was your feeling on that? Were you just like, wow, this is incredible? And did you think that they would become the band this day, like just selling out stadiums?
Yeah, I think what surprised me more was Nirvana, just because I thought Pearl Jam were destined to succeed.
Right.
But Nirvana was just like, I thought they were too edgy. Like, Kim Thayil brought it over to my place, the press test pressing, and he's like, this record's going to blow up. I was like, there's no way, Kim. There's no way this record's going to blow up. But boy, was I wrong. Looking back on it, you know, it's like, well, duh. I mean, just because, like I said, you know, like the kids that were coming to our show were looking for something like that. And right time, right place, and, you know, killer bands. So every time Pearl Jam plays in town, I always try to go. So they're super great live band.
Well, Bruce, we are really greatly appreciative of the fact that you are really getting it out there to help these Seattle musicians get the medical care they need, and of course all of the great stuff you've done in the music community. And we really appreciate you spending time with us today.
Well, thanks, man. And if you know if anybody's interested in signing up for Smash, all they got to do is just go to smashseattle.org. And click join, and then you'll just have to, it takes like 5 to 10 minutes, super easy. Just a list of questions to answer, and you're on your way.
And we have a bunch of great auction items that are up there right now at KSW's website that, you know, I know like the signed Pearl Jam poster is already going for an awesome amount of money, and there's a Mudhoney skateboard with the Big Muff pedal on it, and Metallica Seattle show tour poster as well. There's a lot of cool stuff up there for people to bid on. So hopefully we can raise as much money as possible for Smash.
Yeah, do it. Get out there. Dudes and dudettes need your help.
SmashSeattle.org. Bruce Fairweather. Bruce, thank you so much for being with us. We greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks to you guys for getting out the word.
And again, you can go to the KISW website and just click on Seattle Rock Day, and then you're going to see a big donate button when you do. And whatever you can give, man, to help out the Seattle musicians get the health care that they need.
We have about $3,800 raised. Our goal is $10,000 plus all the auction items, so that's going to bring in some good coin as well.
And today is Seattle Rock Day. This is what we're doing, celebrating the rich history of the music of the Pacific Northwest. If you got any stories, get them to us, 206-421-ROCK. You can also text us at 77999. We'll share those stories all morning long. And speaking of Andrew Wood from Mother Love Bone, recently we chatted with Kevin Martin of Candlebox, and he talked about his relationship with Andrew and how his song Far Behind is all about the late Mother Love Bone singer.
Andy was just really special to me. You know, I had moved there, a transplant from Texas, and I was working at Fluvog Shoes, you know, this person would come in and just kind of sit down and chat. And that was weird for me because I didn't really know any of those musicians. I didn't grow up with them. So the fact that he wanted to talk music and share his opinions of things was just so kind of a beautiful gift for somebody like me, you know, 16, 17 year old kid who looked up to what he was doing. And Malfunction was my favorite band.
Yeah.
So I tried to get Regan Hagar to play in my band for, you know, close to going on 10 years now, and he still won't do it. There's everything about Andy that I never forget and I never will forget. And it was, you know, for me to write a song just to tell him how much he meant to me was the simplest thing I could do.
Some great texts about Andrew Wood and Mother Love Bone. One person says, I was actually at that show that Bruce talked about at the OK Hotel. Mother Love Bone were so awesome that night. I still wonder what would have happened had Andy didn't pass away. He was such a rock star on stage. I still listen to them all the time. Another text says, I'm 46, Mother Love Bone, still one of my favorite bands growing up. Much affection for those guys.
And all day long is Seattle Rock Day. And yeah, we're going to be talking to a lot of folks, talking to you, getting your stories. And we're going to be talking with Seattle music journalist and author Charles Cross. And of course, Charles, man, if anybody knows about the music scene, yeah, Seattle style, he does. We'll be doing that at 7:47 on Seattle Rock Day. And here is Mother Love Bone on the rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Travis, if you're upside down in your mortgage, should you continue to make the payment?
Continuing to pay your mortgage or not is a complex decision because you're going to have to pay to live somewhere. You're going to have a housing payment. So continuing to make your house payment really depends on several factors. One is whether or not you have a second mortgage. The second one is how affordable your ongoing monthly mortgage payment is. Another issue is whether your mortgage is adjustable and you're facing an increase in your mortgage payments later on when interest rates go up. If you do have a second mortgage in this economy with the housing prices being down, oftentimes we can take off or strip off that second mortgage in a Chapter 13 case so that you'd only have the first mortgage to continue to pay.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. And thanks for listening.